Next week is our cantata time, and so I'm looking forward to more of that. How about you? And it'll be a great opportunity. You probably know other people that would appreciate hearing God's message through song. It'd be a great opportunity for you to invite them to come and be part of that. So I hope you'll do that, and looking forward to what the choir has to share with us in that time. I just want to ask you, as we kind of get started, have you ever had a moment in life when you have felt underappreciated or undervalued? Anybody have one of those moments? You know, if you're a parent, you've had them every day, right? I mean, you have those kind of moments when you have thought maybe you were just along for the ride. Maybe no one would even notice if you weren't even there, right? And I was reminded this week that, you know, as a parent, I thought I was a pretty big deal, and I thought lots of people in town knew me, but when I went to school functions, I was nobody. I was Ashley and Kelsey's dad. I didn't even have a name. You know, I didn't have a function. I didn't have anything that I was good at or known for. I was just their dad. And maybe you weren't the dad. Maybe you were the mom. Maybe you were the aunt. Maybe you were the uncle. But you didn't have any real identity, right? You were just there. You were that person. No one knew what you were capable of. Maybe you're that person, or you were that person at work too. You were just the person who did this. Or maybe you were the person who did that. Nobody really knew. It just somehow magically appeared, and oh, they do that. But no one really knew you. That's kind of Joseph, is it not? I mean, when you think about the Christmas story, who knew who Joseph was? You know, and who really knows what he is about or anything else? He's just along for the ride, right? That's just really all he is. Nobody really important. No long lineage that included him. That was Mary's job, right? And outside of that birth story in Matthew and in Luke, we don't even hear anything else about Joseph except when Jesus is 12 years old. And other than that, we know nothing. Right? He's just Jesus' earthly dad. That's it. He's just kind of there. But here's what we really do know. In the Bible, God works through people to change the world. Amen? In today's reality, guess what? God still works through people to change the world. Amen? That's it. And it doesn't matter whether we're well known or not. God still works his miraculous things. God still changes the world in only one way, through people. That's it. That's plan A. There is no plan B. That's it. God created us for that, after all, right? He created us, male and female, to take care of the world that he had created. He created us to worship him. He created us to love each other. This is what he made us for. This is how he made us to change the world around us. And it's the plan that he had for making him known from generation to generation to generation. God planned to change the world through us. People just like us. So turn to someone, and if you're online, just say it to yourself, all right? But just, I want you to say to somebody next to you or to yourself, you were created to change the world. Do that right now. And some of you are going, way too much pressure. Man, don't want that much pressure. But you were. You were created to change the world. If there's going to be peace in the world, who's going to bring it? You are. If there's going to be a way to teach our kids and grandkids how to love each other, guess who's going to do it? You are. If there's going to be a way to stop violence of any kind of form in our communities, guess who's going to do it? You are. If there's going to be a way to rescue somebody from addiction or from hurting themselves or from depression, guess who's going to do it? You are. You were created to change the world. And when you hear that, when you really hear that, that changes everything, doesn't it? You can't wake up in the morning and think, well, it's just another day. No, you wake up in the morning and going, God's going to use me to change the world today. Wow, I better get dressed. Right? Wow, I better pay attention. I better listen up. Now, I'm not thinking that we came here this morning thinking, I'm going to change the world today. I'm betting that was not on your radar when you got up this morning. Anybody? Yeah, it wasn't on your radar, right? I mean, just wasn't. And I'm thinking that Joseph was not thinking when he was engaged to Mary that he was going to change the world. What do you think? I am not thinking that that was what he had in his dream. I'm not thinking that's what he had planned for his life. I'm not thinking any of those kinds of things. And I'm certainly not thinking that it was something he was expecting until he woke up from his dream. Hear the word of the Lord today as we listen to see what God might be saying to each one of us. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant with the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. So here's Joseph. What we do know is he's a young carpenter. He's just trying to do his job. He's just trying to get things right. He's engaged to Mary. It was probably an arranged marriage, because most of them were in those days. So he probably really didn't even know much about her. He probably didn't even choose her because of her looks or anything else. It just was, this is who you're going to marry. And he's engaged to her. And engagements are pretty serious in those days, a little more serious than even today. It's not just a time to plan your wedding. I mean, it's a time to plan your life. It's a time to get yourself ready. It's a time to kind of withdraw from all those other relationships. You don't have them with anybody else, and you don't have them with the person that you're engaged to, and you try to get yourself together. You know? Now, for me, it'd be a really long engagement to get me that together, right? But there they are. And Mary turns up pregnant, even though they're supposed to be having all these kinds of things getting ready. Now, have you ever wondered how she told Joseph? Have you ever wondered just how did she break the news? Did she just say, oops, got something to tell you tonight? Or did she tell him at all? Did he just kind of notice that there was something changing in her shape? And he just kind of went, uh-oh. I mean, we don't know how she told him, right? We just know all of a sudden he knows. He knows that she's pregnant. And he definitely knows it's not my kid. It's not mine. How can I marry someone who's already been unfaithful to me? How can I even think about doing this thing when someone has violated all of this trust? And how can I mean, we've been there when we've been hurt like that, right? And here's Joseph. He's wrestling with all those things. And this is not the plan that he had for his life. This is not the wedding that he had imagined. This isn't anything that was happening. This was not his dream. Right? Ever have a moment in life when you realize that you were living a life that was not your dream? It was not going the way you had planned it? I said, have you ever had a moment in your life when you realized you were living a dream that wasn't your dream and wasn't happening the way you planned it? Okay, thank you. I thought maybe I was really alone and I was the only one who had big plans that didn't come out. You know, but this is Joseph in this moment. This is us, right? We could be that person. We could be in that moment. If we could be in that moment when the dream that we dreamed isn't happening the way that we thought. And all of a sudden we realize it's not even of our own doing that we ended up in a different dream, that something else has been happening outside of us that's beyond our control that was shaping this kind of dream. And we're trying to make a decision about it. We're trying to figure out what to do now that this new reality is upon us. And we don't even have a good answer for it. It happens to us all the time, doesn't it? It happens at work. It happens sometimes in our marriage. It happens when we were parenting. It happens sometimes in our relationships with friends. It happens even inside of me sometimes. How about just inside yourself? You just realize, this is not what I thought. But remember, you were created to change the world. And God doesn't waste any moments. He uses everything for His good and for His purpose. And that's true for Joseph, and it's true for us, is it not? So we have a little something to learn from Joseph, even though we only hear a few verses about him. We have a little something to learn from him if we're going to live into this new moment that God has for us. The first thing we learn from Joseph is this: we have to be a righteous person. Now, I didn't say be a self-righteous person. I said be a righteous person. Now, a righteous person is someone who is living morally right. A righteous person is someone who is guided by a standard of kind of higher calling and justice. This is Joseph. Now, Joseph, according to the law, could have been a righteous person who would have had Mary stoned. That was what was on the books. That was what was written down. This is what a righteous person can do because you have been offended, and this is a righteous way to take care of the offense. But Joseph is morally rooted, and Joseph is a righteous man who looks for the good in other people. He knew the law, but what he knew more was that he wanted to be compassionate. He wanted to show mercy. He wanted to care for her. Who does that sound like? It sounds a little like Jesus, does it not? Is it possible that Jesus learned how to be righteous, compassionate, and show mercy from his dad? Not just his heavenly dad, but even his earthly dad. Because don't you imagine, as he was growing up, he heard the story about how he came into being. Don't you imagine that he heard the whispers and he heard how his earthly dad, Joseph, did not abandon his mother. Don't you think he heard those stories? And so it's not really shocking when it comes out in that Sermon on the Mount of how to show mercy and how to be compassionate and how to be righteous in front of God and in front of others, that one would live a righteous life by caring for the person more than the law. Keeping the law, but keeping it in a way that cared for the person as well. We learn that from Joseph. So Joseph, he chooses to break the engagement off, to divorce her quietly, to save her dignity as much as possible, to show her compassion. But if you and I want to change the world, like Joseph was being asked to change the world, to be God's agents of change, we have to do that not just by being righteous. We do it not just by choosing people, but we do it by living out what God calls us to do and to be. So Joseph has this dream, just like another Joseph in the Old Testament had a dream. And in this dream, Joseph discovers this next thing for us to learn as well, that we choose calling and purpose over comfort and security. Oh, just say those words with me. Choose calling and purpose over comfort and security. Now, even though Mary being pregnant at this point was not his dream, it was not the life that he was planning. I mean, they probably wanted to have kids. They might have talked about having kids, but this was not the most moment. And Joseph's dream was different. It lets us see in this moment that when we respond to God's call in our life, when we respond to God's purpose in our life, it's not always going to be comfortable. Because don't you imagine... Don't you imagine all those busybodies of Jesus' day were counting the months after they got married of when Mary delivered the baby? I should have heard it, oh yeah, about that point. Because isn't that what people do? Oh yeah. Right? Don't you imagine they were counting it down? Don't you imagine that they were talking just a bit? Oh yeah. But Joseph lets us see that when we respond to God's calling in our life, when we are obedient to God's calling in our life, it may cause us to be uncomfortable. It may cause us to take a risk. It may cause us to do something we wouldn't choose to do on our own. It may cause us to walk out of the darkness into the light. But that's exactly what Joseph does. And when we respond to God's call like that, it changes our lives. Now, Denise, in her former life, before we got married, she was a director of student ministries, of youth ministry. And one of the first places that we went on a mission trip was to Knoll, Missouri. I get that right? Knoll, Missouri. And so we took about 42 middle school kids on a mission trip. Just say, oh, praying for you now. And so this was our first kind of adventure and mission trip. We didn't have any idea what we were getting into, and we decided that we could take on these projects. And one of them was clearing land of about 2.5 acres of trees and debris and poison ivy. And the other one was painting a 2-story house. Did I mention they were middle school kids? 40 plus of them. And so we dived in, and about the middle of the week, it just rained, and tornado sirens went off, and it was miserable, and our work got sidelined. And so the day came, and we were supposed to leave and go do a fun adventure with the kids, but the house wasn't done, and the land wasn't all cleared, but it was time for us to go. And so the kids came to Denise that night and said, we don't want to go. We don't want to go do the fun thing. We came here to help these people. And if we leave now, we haven't done what God asked us to do. We need to help these people. So we didn't go do our fun thing. And instead, all hands on deck, a little longer day than we'd planned, and they finished the project. Now that changed lives, right? It changed the lives of those families that we were helping, one of them who was battling cancer. It changed the lives of those kids forever. One of those kids is now a pastor. Several of those kids have ended up being youth group leaders in other churches. Some of them were student ministry leaders on campus when they went to college. They're raising their kids inside the church. It changed their lives. It changed their world. Amen? When they said yes to following a dream that wasn't the one that they had planned. But it was the calling that God placed on their life. You know those moments in your life? When you know that you have done the thing that God called you to do and not the thing you wanted to do? Changed everything, didn't it? It changed your world. You know, think about it. When someone says yes to Jesus, it doesn't just change their heart. It doesn't just change where they're going to end up in heaven. It changes their family. Amen. It changes their friends. It changes the way they treat people, the way they talk about people, the way that they love people, the way they forgive people. It changes the world. Amen. When we say yes to God's dream. When we choose our calling and our purpose over comfort and security, it changes everything in that moment. It would have been easier for Joseph to have just broken off his engagement. Amen? It would have been easier for his life. He wouldn't have had to flee into Egypt. He wouldn't have had to live with people whispering around him all the rest of his life. He wouldn't have had to do any of those things. But God calls not just Joseph, God calls us out of our comfort zones into things that are beyond our control. Amen? Into situations where we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Where we have to depend upon God being present. Because when God calls us and asks us, we have to be willing to abandon an old dream. We have to let go of the dreams that we have been dreaming in order to embrace a new dream, to make new room for that dream. Sometimes we're so busy trying to hold on to old stuff. Amen. I bet if I visited your house, I could tell you amen. Sometimes we are so busy holding on to old hurts that we can't be healed. Agreed? Sometimes we're busy holding on to old grudges that we can't move forward in relationships with people. Sometimes we're busy holding on to old habits that we can't break free to a new life that God has really had for us. We carry around those disappointments. We carry around those broken dreams. And we say, but this was my dream. And not realizing that God has a better dream for us in this moment. A new hope and a new joy. Because abandoning an old dream makes it possible to embrace a new dream. And here's the really cool thing. When God's dream for us becomes a reality, we are changed. Oh, we are changed. When that angel came to Joseph, his life was changed. He didn't even know it yet, but it's going to be changed forever. But listen to what the angels always say. They said to Joseph, they said to the shepherds, they say it over and over to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let go of your old dream. Don't be afraid to embrace the new dream. Don't be afraid to answer the calling and purpose that God has for your life. Don't be afraid for these things. Because when you're willing to embrace the new thing that I am doing in your life, I will be with you. Isn't that who Jesus was? Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to give you the Spirit to be at work in your life. I'll be there, Joseph. After all, it was my Spirit that caused this child to come into being. Don't be afraid of that. It's the work of the Spirit. And God's dream, friends, is always the work of the Spirit and not ours. Amen. It is always the work of the Spirit. Joseph shows us that when we encounter the message of Jesus, when we encounter the work of God in our lives, when we believe the message of God and become a part of His movement, He carries us through. So what would it look like today if you weren't afraid to follow Jesus? That's a good question for you to take home. Amen? What would it look like today if you weren't afraid to follow Jesus? What would it look like today if this church was not afraid to follow Jesus? What would we do as a church if we weren't afraid to follow Jesus? If we were willing to risk everything, if we were willing to just pick it up and go, what would it look like? I need to hear the angel say to me, don't be afraid. How about you? I need a little assurance right here to know that to be true. But if we were not afraid, if we were willing to do that, to believe that God has placed us in the world to change the world, wow. So if you're going to have Jesus in your life, you have to have courage to obey God. Now just hear that again. Because sometimes we think that just all it takes to have Jesus in our life is just to say yes, right? And that is a good beginning point. But if you really want to have Him stay in your life, if you really want to have Him take residence in your life, you have to have courage to obey God. And we can have this kind of courage and not be afraid because Jesus is God with us. Turns out, Joseph changed the world, didn't he? Who knew? Turns out, living like Joseph in our world can change the world too. It's never too late to start on a new path to model love, to shape, and to teach. Did you hear that? It's never too late. So how about today? How about today? God, I don't want to be afraid. God, I want to live your dream, not mine. God, I want to change the world. Let it begin right here with me. Amen and amen. Gracious God, we do want your Spirit to come upon us, to live within us, to be a part of us. Some of us today realize that we have just been playing around the edges for a long time. Help us to jump in. And God, we know that your peace only comes when we live a righteous life, not a self-righteous one, but a righteous one, where we place people over the letter of the law, where we place compassion and mercy as a part of loving and caring for each other. Help us let go of our old dreams of hurt and pain and embrace your dream of love and peace, of joy and hope. This is our prayer today as we say yes to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.